October the 20th, 2013, Lucy Coleman Studio, Los Angeles, California, United States of America, the webcast. It's coming to grips with it. I want my truth to take me to reality, as opposed to being a fake. You think it's easy for me because I had somebody sleeping next to me, cooking me Sunday morning breakfast. I remember the smells of the breakfast in this house. For all those years. I want to talk with you youngsters, because a lot of times I find myself in conversation and sometimes people think when they listen to me that I'm untouchable by the things that touches other people. Well, I'm not untouchable. I'm touched by feelings of loneliness and depression. For loneliness hit me this weekend like a sledgehammer. It's knocked me out. The inevitable question that comes my way from the younger generation. So why don't you just find what you like out there? You live in Los Angeles. Do you know what's there? Do you know what's in that city? Do you know how many thousands and thousands of people? Thousands of people, John. That would find you totally delightful. I was at the Taste of Soul yesterday on my bike, walking amongst the crowds of people, thousands. You're just going to Taste of Soul, Los Angeles, California, yesterday's date, anywhere on the internet, and you find pictures of it, people talking about it. I was there. And out of all of those persons, I met one person, didn't really meet her. Her daughter pointed me out to her. She was a small little thing, because I don't like big women. I don't like women that's busting out all over the place. Never did like that. I didn't. The woman that God gave me wasn't like that. And I saw this woman, and see, because I'm conflicted, because I still, anyhow. And instead of me saying a word to her, I didn't say a word because I didn't feel like going through the coming to grips with it. You want to go through the fakery again, John? You want to go through the fakery? You want to be a fake? If I appealed to her, she should have come up to me and said, you know, I saw you when you were leaning up against a bike listening to a concert on that stage, and I found you to be a reflective individual. Then I would have spoken with her. She came and she stood in front of me and she tinkered in her purse like she was looking for something. First thing that came to my mind is I was going to say, why are you looking through that big Gucci bag like it's something in there that you're looking for? She was doing that because she wanted me to pay attention to who she was. And I was paying attention exactly to who she was. Yes, I could not help it. She was a marvelous, marvelous lady. She had to be at least about over 50. Very well took care of herself. Not cracking all up about the face. Real cool. But I wasn't up to it because, see, I have in my mind what I like, what I want. That's why I wrote that big, long paragraph there. And I wanted to find it for you, especially for those of us that have a little credibility left in our lives about God and about what He would demand of us. Because, believe it or not, you may think, and I just want you to think this through with me, you may think at any good time in your life that you are free to do whatever you want to do because you've grown, quote unquote. That's what I've been told here lately. I'm grown and I can do whatever I want to do. But that even makes you more responsible to God. I mean, really, if you are a theist, if you believe in God. There's a verse in the scripture in the New Testament that says that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our bodies, whether good or bad. And I was talking with a young man, and I was talking to two young men at one time. I had one on the phone, and I had one in front of me. And last night, well, the question came up from the young man over the phone. What kind? Just listen to this. Listen to this. I think this is better than a Sunday morning sermon. See, I'm talking about pervading, you know, skipping over all the fakery. And you know what's happening in the world of religion. The liars, deceivers. I mean, Bob Johnson sent me a little clip with the deal, and I read that, and I mean, it gets worse and worse. And so I'm not going to waste my time trying to correct what started off in erroneous error in the first place. And that is why, really, you'll find on my website, no one of credible stature in theology will question me, because they know that they've been had. They're on the Fruit Loop trail. And without espousing those ridiculous ideas. Listen to what I said. And I'm going to redo this, and I'm gonna, because I think that it's time for me to give a definition of what I'm saying, and so that you can feel it. Okay. It says, I feel like screaming to the top of my head, to the feet that carry me about. In other words, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Every part of me feels like screaming. I'm longing for someone to love me. Not for someone to, you know what I mean. I'm talking about for someone to love me. If I'm talking about love. And what better place to talk about it, or time to talk about it, than on a Sunday morning, when at this time, I'd be preparing to enter the pulpit and talk about love personified in the person of Jesus Christ, and how he came to shed abroad in our hearts this love that he had. Not the kind of love that most people think of when they want somebody to touch them. It's just some. I'm talking about a real touch of love. And then I says, why can't I get real and tell it all? What is it that holds us back? You see what I'm saying? Is I'm saying, why can't I find? The place in me to talk about this issue. Because usually, and I want you youngsters to listen to me, because, you know, God has given you what he's given me. And I've been walking around in mine for quite a long time now. And I can honestly say that internally, in this body that I'm walking around in, there's not too much dirt flowing around in me and outside of me, and that's why I'm still doing pretty good. But keep it in mind that at the rate that I've been going, I haven't had too much human touch by practically any human being. And so I want you to compare that. And as a Christian guy, see, I can talk about it. My the longings of me is screaming out just like it does in everybody. I don't want you to pick up the wrong idea that, he's a retired pastor and so he's conquered all of those things. No, I haven't. And the Apostle Paul speaks about that in the book of Romans. He says, when I would do good, bad is always lurking around the corner trying to suck me under, to try to pull me down, to try to do me in. Why do I hold it back? Fear from hurting others? Wait a minute. See, a lot of times I don't like to talk about these things because I know that it's too harmful for other people to hear somebody talk about it so freely when they have the same kind of anxieties within themselves. And so what they try to do is they try to calm these. And you know what? I'm going to have this forever in me because I'm a human. You know what? I would never ask God, like I hear some so-called Christians do, take these drives from me. Take this away. I don't want him to take it away from me. It's a part of me. It's a part of my makeup. It's a part of what makes it wonderful to be alive, to feel this. I just saw a lady going down the street. You should see this lady. She used to be a cook of a very well-known singer. I won't mention the name. And the well-known singer, when she worked in her mansion in Beverly Hills, bought her a Mercedes, SUV Mercedes. Anyhow, this woman stays with someone that is convalescing, and she goes to church every Sunday morning, and she dresses up like a real crazy woman. She's a little younger than myself. She's very attractive. I was walking the dog last week, and she made sure that she came out and brought me the pictures of herself when she was younger. And I said, and who is this woman? She says, it's me. Of course, I knew that it was her. And I said, the woman on this picture was very, very attractive. And she said, now, I just told her, I'm not interested. And she said, what? I said, I'm not interested. It's too much baggage that I don't know about. There's too much unfamiliarity. See, I'm a very transparent person. When I don't care for you like that, I'll tell you quickly and so that you won't waste your time. Am I right or wrong? Why can't we be like that? So I started in with the next sentence. It is Sunday morning, and I love this day for the most part of how many days I could have spent with Lucy and my girls having life lead us. But I spend most of my Sundays preparing to go and talk about this love that God put in my heart. And I covered up the fact that I love tremendously. And I've only loved my life and helping others discover what love is, having never been fulfilled in my own person. I don't know how to say that. I guess I can say coming to grips with the truth and reality as opposed to fakery. That's why I'm doing this webcast on Sunday mornings. My Sunday sermons are turning into times that I could spend speaking with you people about some things that many of us have tremendous difficulty talking about. I love human touch. I love that. I love it. There's nothing greater than that. I know some of you may think that I'm a very, why is he talking about that? Why doesn't he talk about the simplicity of the angelic being and the divinity? Wait a minute. Hold it. That's all important. Don't get it twisted in any way. Yes, that's important. But I think that there is a time for us to get real. Listen. I want to go back to this. It says, no, I did not. See, I did not spend my time with my wife and my daughters. There has always been the thought of being there for the others, always in my mind. It was put my life on the back burner, put everything about me on the back burner and do this for them. That is the life of a true pastor. A true pastor does that. I find it wonderful when I have people come by to visit me that don't call me Pastor John. I mean, just to call me by my name, is tremendously wonderful to me, because the person is speaking with me as a person and not as some iconic figure that they can idolize, that they can adore. And I know that this is a difficult task for many African American Christians, because we have this fake, oblivious definition in our head about what we want our spiritual leaders to be for us. Well, if I go to church, he has to come to church. No, he doesn't have to go to church. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to attend there with you. He doesn't have to be there. That is the main reason that I do not attend worship services today, because I do not want to attend there because others attend. That's ridiculous. I received an invitation this weekend to attend a birthday party of a lady that I dearly love. She'll be 80 years old. And I received an invitation from her family to come to her birthday party to celebrate with them those 80 years. I would go for her and the family, but for the other people that are there, I'm not going. Because I cannot be myself. I cannot. They will expect something. They will expect me to be, and I don't want to do this. No, I did not. There has always been the thought of, yes, right, holding it together for them. Now, I want to take some time out for me. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm thinking about me. My wife is gone on. My daughters are grown and gone on. I have grandchildren taken care of by their parent. It's not my task. I meet with them, have breakfast with them, I speak with them, and I leave them. This morning's webcast will kind of clear up that fantasy that PJ, me, I'm the person, had it all together. I don't have it all together. I'm a very lonely man. I'm a very lonely man, just as lonely as you are. Those of you out there that are young and you're just discovering these feelings and these drives and this anxiety, and you've taken all of the restraints away. You've just done what you want to do. See, because what I don't do now is I don't preach to the younger generation. I don't preach to them. I preach to their parents and their grandparents. They haven't heard me. So they won't hear it. So the best way to live this out is to live as the example. But as I live as the example, I'm crying out because I want what they're getting. Carte blanche. I want what they're getting, but I want it in reality. I don't want it the way they're getting it. Because that way it leads to nothing. It leads to worthlessness. I try to tell people, all of these sexual partners that people are having with each other in our generation, there has to be something crazy about that, because you can never get out of your minds the fact that you were animalistic with this other person. And regardless how many years go by, You never forget that. Now, look at this. None of us do. I don't have it together. You don't have it together. It says there are lonely nights when I cry because I have not found that special person to take time out with. In the midst, wait a minute, did I read that right? To take time out with. Yes, it hurts. Yeah, I'm hurting just like you. I try to cry out to my Lord that fills my heart. And I try to do that because I'm saying, don't you know? Listen to me. I'm saying to God, don't you know what I need? Don't you know? Can't you see what I love? What I love the most? And I can't have it unless what? Unless there is, watch this, because this is what true love is in the truest sense. I don't mean it the way that Hegel meant it. so I want you to hear me. I'm speaking philosophically. I want the blending of opposites only from the person that can truly love me from their heart. See, because I want the Lord who loves my heart to hear my heart and to answer that. But I go to him. It was interesting because this morning my daughter sent me something in my mail and she says, Daddy, I saw this and I thought of you. And she told me in the email, it was before I got out of bed, and it was a nice little clip. And I looked at it and she says, I thought of you when I saw this. And it was exactly that. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I wrote her back and I said, I doubt whether that will be a blessing that'll come my way in my life. I'll probably go to my grave being an unfulfilled person. That's just this simple as it can get, because I will not allow myself, and I want you to hear me. This is a very important webcast. I will not allow myself. God, you guys don't know how many stories that I've had with people that were looking for what I'm looking for and made the wrong decisions and compromised themselves to get that, only to find themselves to be in a state of miserableness with the other person. I've seen it all throughout my years in ministry. People that's been with people that they can't stand, and they learn how to put up with them for the sake of some vow that they've taken to a deity that would never have told them to do that. Often I would ask people in the church, why are you with that person? Why are you with that person that doesn't give a care about you? I used to speak with my wife years ago when we were first married, and I said, you know what, we can end this. If you don't, you know, if you want to find somebody that's more exciting than me, you don't have to be with me, because I can't get more exciting than this. This is who I am. Now, I said, there's lonely nights when I cry because I haven't found that special person to take the time out in the midst of reading and judging others' ability. Wait a minute. No, I didn't read that sentence right. None of us do. There are lonely nights when I cry out because I have not found that special person, and I hope you're reading along with me, to take time out with. Yes, it hurts. I try to cry to the Lord that fills my heart. I plan to speak as truthful as I possibly can in this webcast that I'm doing right now. This feeling that I am so alone. So alone. And then I ask the question, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that way? Because I know that most of you that are listening to me have. You feel alone. You have people all around you. You want to listen to this when you're alone. Listen, people, there's nothing lasting. Listen, there's nothing lasting without just being with people. Watch this. There's nothing lasting about just being with people as one continues to give out God's truth in the midst of feelings of failure. Now, do you know what I meant by that? Wait a minute, I didn't read that right again, and I have to read it right, because see, that's a problem. My eyes keep skipping these things, and I'm away from the screen, so let me get close. I ask my Lord daily to relieve this feeling that I am so alone. Do you know what I'm talking about? Listen, people, there is nothing lasting about just being with people as one continues to live out God's truth in the midst of the feelings of failure. What I'm saying in that sentence is just being with someone to take care of this anxiety that you're feeling without there being a true transparent connection with that person is a waste. I will not do that. I cannot do that. I don't know how to say it. I have run into so many people that just say, you need to put those old ideas that are antiquated, John, behind you because nobody cares. I care. See, there's something about one's person called integrity. This little clip that my daughter sent me. Now, somebody speaking on this clip, and they made it perfectly clear that. And the reason that she sent it to me is because it was a quaint story about African-American males, and they were speaking about the same thing in their lives, very similar. It's the kind of things that I have spoken with my wife, with my daughters for years. And that's why when she saw the article and then she said to me, you know, I know how you feel because that's fulfillment and you're not going to go the other way, right? And I told her, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. There's a certain, how can I put it? I was speaking with one of the students at the college the other day, and there's a certain feeling called integrity. I said, when you're a person of integrity, you place your feelings behind you, and you know that God wants you to become an integral, that's not the right word. A person of integrity. That is beyond question, always thinking about, wait a minute, not living a self-righteous, pious life in order that he may get another crown or another star or diamond in his crown. I don't think that way. That is evangelical crazy stuff. I've already been declared right before God. And God would not have chosen me and filled me with his spirit if he thought that I would live as a lustful man. I have needs. You have needs. But we are not to fulfill our needs through lust. We are to allow God to fill our needs through our compliance with his will as we wait on him. And that's where we miss it. Look what it said. I've spoken about this for years. I said it only solidifies itself as one continues to live out God's truth in the midst of feelings of failure. Did you see that? I will live out God's truth as I feel totally alone. Then I ask in the last sentence, and I typed this well over an hour ago, if you really desire to come to the point of reality as opposed to the dealing with the surface issues, I ask you to listen to the next hour, because dealing with the surface issues is somebody that says, I'll have sex with you. Come on. Because that's surface issues. Because after that takes place, you guys listen to me. After that takes place, where are you? You're right where you were before, because this human drive will remain in you. There's a great movie, and it's called, what was that movie? Human Touch? No, that's the name of a song. It by Kim, right? If you've heard that song, well, then you know that's what I'm talking about. Well, that happens to believers also, because we're human. And I'm just hoping and praying for the day that all of us would be able to become as real as the day is turning out to be a beautiful today. I'm thinking about getting on my bike, riding. I did it yesterday, and what a great exercise time I had. I'm thinking about driving or riding my bike across the city today, just taking liquids with me, maybe a few peanuts or something, nuts, and enjoying the afternoon alone. Every time I'm out, listen to me. Every time I'm out, every day that I'm out, I come across a person that I think would love to be with me, only to find out that they want to have nothing in the world to do with me. That's the dilemma of not knowing whom you choose, and you have to allow God to let that take place. And listen, when I have conversations with people, they basically want what I want, someone that they can trust and love, depend upon, someone that never changes, someone that is totally transparent, someone that understands me before I even communicate myself to the other person, someone that I don't have to explain myself to. I don't have to. I can be in the kitchen making a pot of coffee, and the person can be talking to me, and when I don't answer, I just need them to come up behind me and just give me a hug and say, "It's all right, man. You don't have to say nothing." Where is that person? Have you found that person? Have you really? Or have you just found somebody that agrees to take something that God has given you that's very precious, a gift? And that gift is so precious that when you give it away, because this is the weekend, right? And that's what, you know, that's what happens. A lot of time people ask me, "Where are you going? What are you doing this?" Nothing. I stayed home this weekend. I did nothing. I went nowhere. I had no company. I have papers to grade. I don't have time. But I thought that I'd take out time this morning to have you come to grips with me, with the truth, in reality, as opposed to the fakery that we go through in order to get our needs met. I will say it again. No, I will not lower myself to that. It's rough. I'm going to tell you, it's a rough call. It is a rough call. For those of you Christians that are ready to get real with it and stop playing with it, it's a rough call. And listen, you don't want to hear about my failure. You only want to deal with your own. And even in your failure to live up to the standard that God has asked you to live up to, you can go to Him. Don't make excuses as to why you could not do it, because that's a lie. You could. Tell God right up front why you did it. And the reason that you did it was because you despised the fact that He's brought you that special individual to give you the assurance of that calmness, of that feeling deep down in your heart, without bitterness or anger against God. Because that's what a true theist would do. You love God because He knows you. One day. And I think, one day. And see, I stopped the sentence right there. One day, what I will do is I will speak totally free. It's like I saw in this little clip that my daughter sent me. People were talking about their love for the special person that they had found, and they said that we could only discuss this love. Oh, back in the day, and these people were, you know, she sent me a clip of people that was as old as I am, because they were talking about stuff like back in times of the Vietnam War and the Army and all that kind of stuff. And I recall those days because that's when I was in my prime. Believe it or not, before I got married, and I recall before I met the wife that I married, I was looking for that. Being young when I got married, I could have sworn to Jehovah that I had found it. And I believe I did, with two children and 34 years of being with each other, never cursing each other out. I never cursed this woman out, never hit her, never tried to harm her, always took care of her. She always, when I was hit by the bus on my bike, she took care of me. I have pictures of it. She was warmly looking towards me, not just because I was a breadwinner. She knew that I had never been broken up like that before by a 40-ton bus. I remember those days. Now the home is silent. Nothing. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, screaming deep down on the inside, trying to figure out why. Why I feel so alone. I'll leave that with God, because until God gives me what I've asked him for, I'm going to live with integrity the best of my life. Some people may think that it's a best of my life living to please others. I'm not going to go that far and do that. I am going to live, check this out, I am going to live the best of my life in order to please the God that created me. It has absolutely nothing to do with pleasing others. And in so living like that, I have to take on a conscious attitude of what I do in terms of what God's will is for my life. You see what I mean? So once I do that, once I take a conscious effort to do that, then the peace comes, even though I'm alone. That's what I'll do. Now, why am I doing that? To try to get a crown of righteousness? No, I already have that. It's already been given to me. Why do I do that? There's only one reason that I do that. Am I afraid to get involved in stuff? No, I'm not afraid. I've tried that. There's nothing to it. It's emptiness. It's pure emptiness. So what do I do? I love the God that gives me a mind that can comprehend these things intelligently. And then I extol God and put him first in all that I do and I say. Because God is telling me, I'll be there for you, John. I'll be there for you. Like the song is saying in the background. That's why I like playing this song. Yeah. It's not about listening to someone else sing it. When God tells me that he'll be there for me, I have to believe it. It's a phrase that I use in philosophy. I have to believe in order to understand. You see, I have to believe in that first, that God will take care of me. And then I'll understand that as I believe it to that sense, my reality is far more enlightening as opposed to the fakery that I have experienced. If I deal with something that makes me feel ashamed of myself. So, thank you for listening to my uncut feelings on this Sunday morning as I continuously grade philosophical essays, which I'm becoming tired and bored of. I should take the day off and ride my bike on the beach and give the students another week to wait for their papers. As a matter of fact, I think I will go to the beach today and enjoy nature and people. And let God give me what He needs to give me as I enjoy this life. Thank you for coming to my website. Thank you for listening to my ramblings on this Sunday morning. I hope that I was able to help you, the ones that want to be real. God is there in your life. Don't go the other way, because you're just going to tear yourself up. Okay? God bless you. You hang tight.